Well, damn. This is your podcast, your blogger, and Alt House. And I am here to do the podcast of the day, but I lost everything. I was recording for more than 52 minutes, and the crab ate my homework. I'm telling you, the crab ate my homework. I was just about to get to the second to the last post, which is a quote from Metafilter. For some reason, animals keep evolving into things that look like crabs independently over and over again. What is it about the crab's form that makes it so evolutionarily successful that non-crabs are apparently jealous of it? That's about evolution. Apparently, the shape of the crab is something that the process of evolution takes various lines into. But that's the only one I didn't read. That one and this thing about Jimmy Wales, Wikipedia, Jeopardy, and the fate of the fact. In the internet age, it seems as if there's no reason to remember anything, but information doesn't always amount to knowledge. And Louis Menon said, quote, "A major influence on Jimmy Wales's conception of Wikipedia was an essay by Friedrich Hayek called The Use of Knowledge in Society, published in 1945. And Hayek is virtually the father of post-war neoliberalism. Hayek's argument about knowledge is markets are self-optimizing mechanisms. This theory of knowledge is not unrelated to the wisdom of crowds scenario in which a group of people are guessing the number of jelly beans in a jar. The greater the number of guesses, the closer the mean of all guesses will come to the true number of jelly beans. A crucial part of crowdsourcing knowledge is not to exclude any guesses. This is why Wales, in his role as Wikipedia's grand arbiter, is notoriously permissive about allowing access to the site's editing function, and why he doesn't care whether some of the editors are discovered to be imposters, people pretending to expertise that they don't really have. For when you are calculating the mean, the outliers are as important as the numbers that cluster around the average. The only way for articles to be self-correcting is not to correct, to let the invisible hand do the job. Wikipedia is neoliberalism applied to knowledge." And it got some pushback from that in the comments that said that really was not the way it works. Rebel said if a majority of the bean counters are acting in bad faith, you can throw all of that invisible hand crap out the window. The number of jelly beans will be what they say it is. Yep. Nonopause says Wikipedia is generally fine for largely apolitical topics, but the second a subject becomes remotely political is when their reliability and objectiveness goes down the toilet. And R.H. Hardin said that you don't, you, quoting, the greater the number of guesses, the closer the mean of all guesses will come to the true number of jelly beans. And he said, doubtful, you'd want the median. The high guess is likely to be a joke, like a trillion. In particular, the extremes are garbage. Yeah, if you find the mean, you're averaging, and if you throw in some ridiculous, exorbitant average, it'll make nothing out of the rest of the guesses. If someone put in a trillion, it'll mess your number up completely. So the median, not the mean. So something must be market-like about the way Wikipedia works, but I don't think Louis Menon explained it quite right. And this is where I am now. If I were to try to catch up with what I didn't get in the original recording, I would have to go back and read 52 minutes of stuff, and I can't do that. So I'm going to just quickly tell you what the other stuff is without reading it. I had the first post of the day was about a Billie Eilish video where she was romping through a mall and singing, "I Think Therefore I Am." And I thought it was interesting that she was using Descartes' famous quip. And then Jimmy Fallon had a funny parody of it in which he was doing the same kind of romp through the mall while singing a song, and he got called out by security guards for not wearing his mask, and so then doing a video with a mask on, lip syncing is nothing if you can't see the person's mouth. So there was something a bit funny about that. Now, I did like the fact that I went back to an old 2004 post of mine on the subject because there were pretzels involved. One of the things Billie Eilish does as she romps through the mall is that she goes to one of the, I guess, Auntie Anne pretzel, I think they're called Auntie Anne pretzels in the mall, a typical fast food mall shop. And in much of the video, she's carrying around a pretzel. And we also see Jimmy Fallon going for a pretzel. So I considered whether to add a pretzel tag. I didn't, but I did in the process of looking around to see what I had under pretzel. I found this old post from the first year of the blog called Pretzels and Free Will that I particularly liked. And I could see myself reading this one again, but I'm a little too pissed off to do it. So I suffice it to say, I was at Borders watching two cute little girls, the younger one of which was about 5, and they were dipping their pretzels in water and eating them in a dainty way that was sort of like maybe an imitation of an adult dipping cookies in coffee. But they were reprimanded by the mother, and the little girl continued to eat, the younger of the two girls continued to eat the pretzel, dipping it in water, and immediately had her pretzel and water taken away, which she thought was unfair. On the way out, however, even though she didn't get any more pretzel, she put her finger on the table and got a pretzel crumb, put it in her mouth, and said, "I ate the pretzel crumb." So I thought that was a, well, she learned a lesson. The mother had kept saying, "You made the decision to disobey." So was very intent on teaching that child responsibility, but the child wanted to analyze the fairness of it. So there was a lot of mental work at that little scenario. And in the end, the girl had this, triumph of individualism because she got a crumb. But that was interesting. The second post of the day was about George Harrison writing an answer to a fan who'd asked how to wash her car, and Harrison put in the letter to this young woman that the last step was to take all the dirty water over to Paul McCartney's house and dump it on his shiny Ford Classic. Mess it up. And I said George Harrison was more of a jerk than you might think if you mostly just listen to his song lyrics. And I quoted the song lyric from the song Living in the Material World. I got born into the material world, getting worn out in the material world. Use my body like a car, taking me both near and far. And I said, "Do you think of your body as a car your spirit rides around in? Do you admire a man who does?" And then I had my best digression, and I'm sorry I lost it. Maybe I belabored it too much. Maybe having said it once, I could say it again very succinctly. But I just wanted to say that if you're using your body like a car, you're kind of disconnected from your body. You just see yourself as a mind. And then the mind is like the driver. But consider if you, the driver of your body car, if you're the driver, how do you know there aren't passengers? How do you know there aren't passengers in that car that is your body? You're controlling the vehicle. You're moving your arms and legs and your mouth and talking and so forth. Yeah, you're the driver. If your body's a car, yeah, you're the driver. But how do you know there aren't passengers? How do you know there aren't other minds in there too? Just because they're not running the body, they could be along for the ride. And think about maybe this is the afterlife or the pre-life, going for rides in cars before you get a car of your own, right? Who would you want to ride around in? And should you want your life to be driving a car that other people, if they got to choose where they would be passengers, they would choose to ride in your car. And maybe that's a reason not to be too interesting so that you don't get these passengers, assuming there's some other world in which they get to choose which cars they want to ride in. Maybe there's some people with 1 million riders and some people with none, if there's a choice. But maybe it's a punishment. Maybe the really boring lives are used as punishments. All right, then. And then I said, yeah, I found a picture of the Ford Classic that would have existed in London. And I talked a little bit about whether George was really doxing Paul for using that address, 20 Forthland Road. Maybe not. Maybe it's Paul's childhood home. I don't think he was still living there at the time, and everyone knew what that home was. Now, there was a post that was a quote from the new episode of This American Life about a guy who was in a video that was passed around as cheating in counting the votes, but we hear from this person. And even though it looks bad, if you just see the little snippet of video, there's a completely innocent explanation. I spent a lot of time telling you about President Macron's idea about the French theory that people don't belong to particular groups and religions. We don't talk about them that way, that there are enlightenment values about the individual. And he accuses American media, with its criticism of systemic racism, of legitimizing terrorism. So his fight against terrorism in France is tied to enlightenment values, in which we don't talk about people according to their race or their religion. And he was quite critical of the media for not supporting him. And the New York Times had an article about it, but the New York Times article kind of accused him of saying these things because he's facing re-election, and his opponent will probably be the ultra-right Marine Le Pen. And I had a post which I said was my favorite post of the day, which was a 7-point list, made a 7-point list because George Harrison's letter to the fan had been a 7-point instructions on how to wash a car. So I made a 7-point list under the heading, Why I'm Reading About a Shooting That Took Place in 2007, over the question of exactly how tall was James Brown. And I'm not going to read this all out loud again, these 7 points, but basically I tried to find a video in that category that I'd been talking about a singer randomly walking along the street mouthing the lyrics. And I found a video that didn't really fit the description, but it's something I thought of. And that got YouTube suggesting that I watch a video with David Bowie imitating Mick Jagger. And he talked about his wife also in that video. He talked about his wife buying him a suit that had belonged to Little Richard, but that the suit was way too big for him. For David Bowie, so I wanted to know how tall these two men were. Turns out the two men were the same height, 5'10", but I was talking about the way you can look up the heights of various celebrities. And I looked up, and because I had looked up how tall Little Richard was, the internet automatically suggested that I might want to know that James Brown was 5'6". And actually, that was pretty interesting because you think of James Brown as being this really big character, and yet he was a fairly short man. He was only 5'6". And in looking at that subject, I ran across a headline from 2007, Man Shot Over Argument About James Brown's Height. And I said, if you didn't already know the actual fact that James Brown was 5'6", I could see how you might get into an argument with somebody who, knowing that fact, would annoyingly stand his ground. Just to nail this down, no matter how annoying you find people who are asserting the truth of a fact that you think must be wrong, don't shoot them. And I don't know which guy did the shooting and which guy got shot. Was it the guy that was sure James Brown was taller than that did the shooting? I kind of think it was the guy who didn't actually know but could not understand why that other guy would not, kept insisting that James Brown was 5'6". In other words, kept insisting what was true. But I read several news reports about that shooting and could not find one that told me which one was the shooter, which the shooter or the shootee, which one was correct about James Brown's height. See the things that one can get interested in and talk about? Talked about how there's a new vaccine that is being tested as 94.5% effective against coronavirus, and that's sending the stock market up and also causing President Trump to insist that he should get credit for that because he created the conditions for the fast tracking of the vaccine. But of course, he won't get credit. I went back to some old articles from October, last October and June, about the Hispanic voters that maybe I won't read all of this again. You can go to the blog if you want, but why did Democrats disappoint? Why were they so badly disappointed in the Hispanic vote? Why did they lose ground with Hispanic voters over the 2016 election when they thought they were going to win big? And the hypothesis is that Hispanic voters really did not like all of the attention to the Black Lives Matter movement and the way the Democrats are using race, and that their ideas about race are different. In fact, as these articles, and one of the articles is in WLRN, which is the Miami NPR affiliate. So this is a, and the other article is in NBC. These are articles that talk about Hispanic voters who are w white. What was the word that they used? White presenting Latinos. So. There are racial issues within the category of Hispanic, which is multivarious and includes lots of different colors of people. But I think there's some sensitivities and hostilities in there. And I don't think we're getting any, I haven't seen any articles talking about that since the election. But I did find these two articles before the election. And so maybe you ought to look into that question if you're looking for an explanation about the Hispanic vote. And I had a post from Mickey Kaus, a quote from Mickey Kaus, who suggested that he was looking at the question, why did the Democrats win the presidential vote but do so poorly in everything else further down the ballot, Senate, House, and state level races? And one idea is that the effort to get rid of Trump, to get people to do mail-in voting and to stress it all being about voting for Trump, caused a lot of people to fill out the ballots without voting in the other categories. So they just sent in the ballots. This is called roll-off. In other words, you check the box at the presidential election, and then you just stop voting from that point. You don't vote in the other categories. Instead of just, oh, if I'm voting for Biden, I'll just vote for all the Democrats. Or if I'm voting for Trump, I'll just vote for all the Republicans. Maybe people aren't doing that. They're like, well, I just want to vote for the president and the others. I don't know. And then they just send their ballot in like that. And if a lot more Democrats did that than Republicans, that would explain the pattern of the ballots that the Democrats won the presidential vote but did badly in these other races. And, oh, well, if I've gone that far, I guess I've done enough. And that means I've managed to patch together this destroyed video, which would have gone over an hour. And I've managed to do it in under 20 minutes. Sorry I don't have more for you, but on the other hand, I'm pleased to have less.